Welcome to the Toncast. My name is Adam Blau. I am your host, as usual. We have here as our guest tonight, actor, thereminist, extraordinaire, Todd Robert Anderson.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right. How are you doing, Todd?
I'm good. I think we should be fair. I'm good at pretending to play the theremin.
Yeah.
I'm not actually playing the theremin. I can look as if I am playing the theremin.
You are a pro at that.
As long as you can put the actual theremin into the soundtrack later.
But you know how to make it look good, which is the important
Yes,
part.
I know how it looks when you play a theremin.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I've seen theremin playing in other... we're, of course, referencing a part I played on this program called Weeds.
Good program.
It's a good program. It's a comedy program.
It's a drama.
It's a dramedy. It's a half-hour dramedy program, single-camera dramedy program. But in one of the episodes I did, I played a theremin. I was a hobbyist,
yes,
who played the theremin, and taught me how to play the theremin in a very rudimentary way.
Yeah.
So I could, it was choreography, really.
Yes.
I just basically memorized what you did when you were actually playing the theremin.
Yep.
So it looked like I was doing it. But if I was actually doing it, when I was actually trying to do it, it was horrible. It was wrong.
Nobody needed to know that.
But then
I know.
That's true. But then that's one of those things. It's if I become known as a theremin player, then I'll get jobs. They're like, and then I show up and I can't play the theremin, and they're like, what the fuck? It's
all
like,
if you can't, all that means is that I then get jobs as well.
That's true. Have to work without a body. That's true. If I do that, I can do the theremin as long as Adam Blau's actually recording the music.
This is all part of the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did see an episode of, I think it was Law and Order SVU or something like that, where some kid was playing the theremin, and obviously the writers put it in because they thought it was a go-to joke.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think actually it was done before we did Weeds, because it was a rerun. Who knows,
right,
with Law and Order? It's on all the time. I just happened to see it, and this kid was playing the theremin, but he was touching it. And he was touching the box and not the metal rod and the metal loop. He wasn't touching the, and you're not even, you don't touch it. You're dealing with the air around it. And he was touching the theremin in the box. He wasn't even using the antenna. He was like jamming on the box. And it was making, and I looked at it, I was like, now that's just.
There were about six people in the world who were very, very upset.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just. I realized everything happened so last minute in television, especially if you're a bit player like myself and whoever that guy was on Law & Order. But there are YouTube videos. I mean, it's not that you can spend 10 minutes worth of research and at least understand, go, oh, it kind of looks like that, as opposed to just jamming on a box. And also, they wrote it in and there weren't any writers on set to explain to the actor. That's actually not how you do it.
Right.
I don't know. It seems like an unimportant detail, but to me, it's something.
Absolutely, and this is why you are a consummate professional, and this is why we have you here today as a guest on our show. Because you are a consummate
I'm a consummate professional.
You are, yes.
I am, yeah.
Well, today we're not going to talk about theremins. As usual, we're going to talk about the inexplicable things in our world. Things that are just... hard to figure out in the world around us. So we're
going
to start our show like we do every show. We're going to light the candles.
They're very nice.
Yes.
Are those the candle holders are gargoyles?
They are gargoyles. That's right.
They're gargoyles.
They're,
they protect us from evil spirits.
They do. And it's important.
Yeah, although in some movies they come alive and attack you.
The night is young. We'll see what happens.
Yes.
So the format of our show, of course, is that there are 11 questions. It's a bit of a free-form conversation, but structured around 11 questions.
Oh, okay.
So, all
So, all right, 11 questions.
Yeah, 11 questions.
That seems like an arbitrary number.
It does, but it's just how we work things here at the podcast.
Okay. So, well, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so why don't we dive right in?
Mm-hmm.
And there might be some sub-questions, I should say, but we'll each will be centered around a subject.
Sub-questions, so, like there's a question and then there's a lower-leveled question?
We'll in related or no, they're probably equally
or a substitute question.
No.
Like you'll say, well, I was going to ask this question, but I'm going to substitute it with another question now.
I think that would probably just be confusing, mostly. So I would say neither. Sub was probably I was thinking.
Oh, you mean four. Questions about sandwiches?
Yes. So if you can somehow shoehorn sandwiches into each answer, it would be greatly appreciated.
I love shoehorning sandwiches into anything.
And our sponsor, Subway, would greatly appreciate it.
Subway, so, yeah. Exactly. You guys get the big...
That's not me. I'm just getting free subs out of the whole thing.
So oh, that's nice. Right. Yeah, they pay it.
So why don't we dive right into question number one.
All
right. And I guess the crux of this one is Todd Robert Anderson, actor, therapist. Mm-hmm. Do you believe in ghosts?
Do I believe in ghosts?
Yeah.
I have never seen a ghost, and I'm a very practical person.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm devoutly agnostic, I guess, on all levels of spirituality and ethereal things, and I don't believe that ghosts don't exist, but I have not experienced ghosts, so it's hard for me to 100% believe ghost stories. But I've had very close personal friends tell me very convincing stories about ghosts. My friend Zach Galvin, who is the vice principal at Natick High School in Massachusetts, or maybe he's the principal now. I can't remember if he got that promotion, but he told me a ways back he would summer on Nantucket, and he worked there, and he had his family had a house there, and he told me stories about some, like, waking up at night and there was a figure at the foot of his bed just staring at him angrily.
Right.
And he had a name for him. I can't remember. It's been so long since I heard the story. But
he came up with a name, or the guy told him?
No, he figured it out. It was like right out of, your run-of-the-mill Hollywood ghost story, where it's like, really, there's a specter in the thing and I don't know what he wants, and he sort of learned the history of the house and learned that there was a guy there, and there was there was a murder there. His wife and kid were killed in a break-in or something like that, so he was still haunting the place. And it sounds like sort of a cliched ghost story, but at the same time, this is a very close friend of mine telling me this, and it was very convincing and detailed, so he certainly believed it. I don't think he was bullshitting me.
Yeah, I mean, are you just sort of stepping back from it and saying maybe it does exist, maybe it doesn't exist, or are you...
I believe that he believes that he saw it. And it's certainly creepy and sends a chill up your back. I've never experienced that. My wife claims to have experienced supernatural occurrences in the house where she grew up.
Okay.
She was convinced her house was haunted. So she believes in ghosts. I guess, sure, I believe that there's something going on, but I don't know what it is. And
if you were suddenly haunted, and this is still part of question one, I should say.
This is a sub question.
This is a sandwich. Exactly.
This is a sandwich.
Brought to you by the $5 foot long. If you were to suddenly be haunted or interact with a ghost, if some spiritual otherworldly ghost, like something or other, were to haunt you, how do you think you'd react?
I most likely in terror.
Okay.
I mean,
even if they were the Casper-ish sort of friendly type of ghost, or...
I think, even if you look at Casper, most people responded to Casper in terror.
He's a misunderstanding.
Except children.
Right.
Children didn't have that problem. And they're not... there were mean children who were terrified of him. It was the nice, quiet, shy children that... that were okay with Casper.
Yeah.
That didn't judge him according to his ghostiness.
Yeah.
So
it's really sort of a civil rights story.
I mean, I think, you know, unless the ghost, you know, approached me in such a way as to be non-threatening, I would be terrified. Yeah. I think I would be terrified. Yeah. I am not a brave person.
You're brave for sitting through this one-on-one interview.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to flip that question for a second and say, what would you do if you were a ghost? Would you haunt somebody? Would you be a friendly type of ghost? Would you, how would you handle if suddenly you're a ghost?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, as a ghost, is it like the movie Ghost, where I have to work really hard
to move
something?
Sure. Yeah, let's use those.
It's not, rules. It's, but I can flow through walls and just basically hang out.
Yeah.
But to actually pointedly haunt someone is difficult.
But you can practice and work at it if you tried very hard, but sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were determined enough to scare someone, you could, but you can, let's use those rules.
But I mean, it's not even to scare someone, it's just to interact.
Yeah.
Interact with someone.
Yeah,
I could.
Sure,
but not with ease or with ease.
With medium ease. Let's
medium
say.
Ease.
Sure.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things you could do. I would say, you know, part of me would want to, you know, help out as a ghost. You know, maybe help some people who are down on their luck. You know. Maybe see if I can help change their fortunes or something. But, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. So that could blow up in my ghost face. So I think I'd do some of that. I think I'd probably also, you know, go to, you know, sex parties and stuff.
Like you do.
Yeah, and just check that out.
All right. Good. All right. Well, I think we're ready to move on to question number two.
Okay. Yeah. Good. That was hard hitting.
Yeah, you know. Well, that's what we do. So question number two, do you dream much, Tom? Tell me about your dream world.
You mean sleep dreams? Sleep,
yes, exactly. Slumberland type.
I do. My dreamscape is a strange place. I don't know if I can, I have a lot of weird dreams.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily recall them. Quite often I wake up and go, well, that was a weird dream. And then by the time breakfast is over, I've forgotten about it. But they're very strange.
Are they nightmarish, or are they just sort of...
For the most part, no. They're just weird. But I do, you know, I do occasionally have a terrible nightmare.
Are they recurring dreams? Do you have the same elements?
I go through periods. Yeah. I go through periods. I used to, when I was real little, my nightmares always had alligators in them. Yeah.
Do you know what that's, is that based on something that happened or just a...
Yeah, it was probably because when I was a kid, an alligator ate my dad. No, that's not true. That's just a bad joke. Really bad joke. I don't know why the hell. I mean, I think it's so much of what nightmares is your stress levels have gone too far, and your subconscious is trying to tell you whatever the hell it's trying to tell you, and it's using whatever real life symbolism it can. Because God knows, you know, little babies have nightmares.
Yeah.
What the hell is what is representative of their? They probably have some really screwed up nightmares because it's probably from another spiritual plane completely, and we can't even grasp it. But then once you're in this world for a while, you latch onto different images.
Yeah.
So when I was a kid, there wasn't a lot. You know, I'd seen alligators. You know, and they can eat you.
Seems scary.
You know, and there was Pitfall Harry was the game you play, and the alligators ate you. Yeah, and then, you know, there were a lot of adventure movies where alligators were terribly dangerous.
Yeah.
Romancing the Stone, mm-hmm. You know, the alligator bit that guy's hand off, you know, and those images, I think, sort of led to the gator thing. And just gators in general. Pictures of them that I saw in school, they're terrifying. But then as I got older, those things were replaced. You know, I had recurring Freddy Krueger nightmares mm-hmm. for a long time. And recurring Jason Voorhees and zombies. They still come up quite a bit.
Now, it's no secret that you are a fan of some fairly outlandish cinema, some might say. Do you think that your dreams have been influenced by the movies that you've watched and all of those?
Definitely. I mean, that's, you know, I'm a big zombie aficionado. The Romero, Living Dead guys and gals, I guess, that are undead. And that has definitely colored my nightmares. I mean, when I do have nightmares these days, generally it's it can be
zombie nightmares.
Yeah, zombie nightmares. Yeah.
Do you put any sort of weight in terms of dream symbolism? Do you wake up and think, oh, my teeth fell out, that must mean I'm feeling powerless? Do you ever think about go down that road or give any credence to that?
I will curiously, if I remember a dream, I will curiously, you know, go on the internet and see what dream people, that. Sometimes, you know, if it's something that sticks with me, I'll go, oh, I wonder what these people think of the symbolism in that dream. Huh? And sometimes it makes sense, and other times it doesn't. It's just like reading a horoscope. Sometimes it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense, and other times like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, so it sort of depends what you find, and you'll say that's a load of crap, or hey, that's All right, very good. Well, I think we're ready to move on to question number three.
So formal.
I'm all about this.
This is a business.
Yes.
So sell sandwiches.
Brass tacks.
It's about the sandwiches.
Exactly. We're now up to the $3 foot long. Todd Robert Anderson, do you believe there's life on other planets? Alien life. Creatures in outer space.
Same thing as ghosts. It's... Actually, more than ghosts, I would say, even though there's probably less, you know, anecdotal evidence in my life of aliens, although I have heard anecdotal evidence of, you know, people telling me stories about when they saw UFOs.
You want to talk about that? It's not worth getting into at this point.
Well, I mean, there was a lady that I knew through a class I was taking, and she's a great lady, but she's a very, very spiritual woman. She's, I don't know, one of those psychic healers, you know?
Yeah.
And she can... you know, talk to dead people for you and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. This cool lady, been through a lot, you know, in her lifetime. You know, I don't know where her psychological impact of certain life events ends and actual, sixth sense begins. Right. I don't know, but she did tell me a story about aliens in it. And, you know, it was a cool story, but I don't know if I believe that she actually saw that. I mean, it's like ghosts. I mean, who knows?
Do you think we have already made contact, that they're among us? Do you think that we will ever find...
I don't know. Again, I have not seen any actual physical evidence of aliens. It's a fun thing to think about, and I like to believe. I mean, it seems scientifically probable that in other galaxies there are livable planets and there are other life forms. Whether they're anything like us is... I don't know.
Yeah.
But I personally have not seen any evidence of aliens, so yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and say that's a cool idea.
Yeah.
And I'm open to it. To say for sure, one way or the other.
So stories like, Easter Island was actually aliens that came down, or, you know, some of the whole, like, Eric Von Daniken, which is, you know, the aliens were here thousands and thousands of years ago and gave us the power of fire or any of that stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a fun theory. Yeah. Like, any conspiracy theory or whatever, that there's some sort of circumstantial... evidence that can create this concept, sure, yeah, that sounds neat, but no, it's not. Until you can prove it, it mm-hmm. doesn't really, until it can be proven, it's just a fun idea.
Yeah. All right, well, I think we may be heading down this road for some of the following questions, but I will dive into them to see your thoughts. So the next question is, do you believe in psychic ability at all? Psychics in general, the ability to sort of either see the future, see someone's aura, anything that's sort of related to psychics in general? Have you ever been to a psychic?
I have been to a couple psychics and fortune tellers and stuff like that. And had tarot cards read. And I like that stuff. I think it's fun. I mean, I do think spirituality is fun.
Did you go recreationally, just sort of like on a lark, or was it sort of a...
It was all, you know, one time I went in New York and, you know, it was a couple buddies of mine were kind of drunk and we were walking by, you know, a second story window said fortune teller. So we buzzed the apartment and we went in and we all had our fortunes read. While the others waited in the living room and watched the giant television with the children of the fortune teller.
Yeah.
Which was awkward.
It is. What age children?
They were like, if memory serves, there was probably like a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 14-year-old.
Okay, so you weren't the ones babysitting.
We weren't babysitting. We weren't responsible. But it's still awkward to sit with strangers in their living room and watch television while you're paying someone to tell you your future.
Possible future. What was on the TV, if you remember?
I don't. It was probably like Tango and Cash or something like that. But she... I remember I was like, oh, that's interesting, that's interesting. But then she started going, there's going to be a lot of jealousy in your life.
Mm.
And I was like, you mean me being jealous of people or other people being jealous of me? And she's like, a little bit of both, but a lot of people being jealous of you. And I was like, really? I mean, why? And she's like, I don't know, but if you, you know, subscribe to my service, then we can. And I was like, she's trying to sell me her little version of her religion, right, where she's the guru, and I go and learn about the jealous. And I, you know, as soon as I'll pay the $5 for the fortune, and that sounds fun. But as soon as you're trying to get me to come somewhere on a weekly basis and give you money for spiritual reasons, right, then I actually become kind of aggravated.
Well, I understand. Understandably so, I would say.
I mean, that's my, you know, that was my biggest problem with, you know, going to church as a kid was, you know, you're going to dump money in a basket.
Right.
And I don't get that. I don't get it. I mean, it's not that I want, you know, priests and nuns and rabbis and stuff to be homeless. I just think they could find more interesting jobs
than that.
Then give me money so I'll talk to God for you, whatever that is.
Well, so you made mention of the fact that you have been multiple times, you've had tarot cards read and been to psychics and so on and so forth. So clearly there's more than just that one escapade or that one
yeah,
that
I
didn't
mean,
taint you for the rest of them.
I mean, but it's like, what, it's like going to a carnival and paying to see the world's biggest rat, which is not a rat. I mean, all you have to do is look it up and you'll learn that it's just an Australian... giant Australian rodent.
Got some pretty big rats here.
Well, no, but these rats are like the size of, you know, large hogs. They're really big, but they're not rats at all. I can't remember what they're called. They're some Australian thing, but when you haven't seen an Australian whatever it is, they can call it a giant rat. But all I'm saying is, that's fun. I like that.
And did you give any actual weight to it? Did you walk out of there at all thinking... maybe there's something to that, or was it all just sort of like, you know, forget it.
I mean, the last time I had my tarot cards read was at a fundraiser for my son and wife's elementary school.
Yeah.
And it was just someone there who read tarot cards, so she, you know, put on the costume, the fortune teller costume, and she knew how to read tarot cards.
Yeah.
So I did that, and it was fun, and it was, you know, she's like, oh, this is, you know, looks like your career is going to turn out really well, and, you know, it's been a while. So I don't know, maybe she's right, maybe she's wrong, I don't know. Yeah.
All right, good. Well, we can move on. We're at the $5 footlong question, which, as Subway sponsors it, this is the biggie. This is a biggie.
Mm-hmm.
There's some biggies at the end, too. But, okay. Todd, Robert Anderson.
Yes, it's still my name.
It is. How did all of this start? Why are we here? What's What's in your opinion? What do you think this is all about?
I believe that a gigantic Asian woman, overweight Asian woman, was the universe was just an empty void except for this gigantic overweight Asian woman.
Yeah.
Who's floating, just floating. And she coughed, and that is what scientists mistake as the Big Bang.
Yeah.
She just coughed, and all this phlegm and shit went flying and created the universe and the stars and the planets.
So the standard story, basically.
The basic, yeah. I think that's Buddhism.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's how it started, and then. See, it's all confused. That's the Big Bang, was the giant Asian woman floating in the empty void and then coughing phlegm balls out to create worlds. And then a lot of the phlegm balls developed into their own entities and created their own worlds in 7 days.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just one phlegm ball. It's like all over the universe there are phlegm balls creating their own phlegm ball worlds in 7 days.
I do need to ask, is part of this, are you shilling for Mucinex again?
No, they haven't given me a check in at least 8 years. Oh, so right. No, so, this is a genuine religious belief.
All right, good. So that's how. I needed to confirm due diligence for our audience. Our weekly listeners are rabid and would want to be sure.
I want them to know that that's And I'm not the only guy who thinks that. Obviously,
there's an
entire countries built on that theory.
All right. Moving forward or
forward, backwards, whatever you want.
All right, we'll go forward. The clock's a ticking here.
Okay.
All right. So we're now on number six. Question number six.
Number six.
Here we go. Yeah. Okay. We're trucking.
We're moving along.
Yeah. Let's talk. I'm speculating where you might go with this, but I'm curious to know what you think about witchcraft, magic with a K at the end, whatever you want to call it, voodoo. Do you think anybody? Not necessarily innate abilities, although maybe, but people toying with potions and that kind of thing. Do you give any weight or credence to that?
I do. Mostly, I mean, the only potion that I've dealt with is Love Potion number 9.
Sure.
And that's...
It is the most popular of Love Potions.
It's the most popular potion. 1 through 8 potion.
Were garbage. Trust me.
Well, it's all about, I'm good. Thanks for offering me a beer. Do you drink a lot during your podcasts? I mean, it's not
just during podcasts, my friend.
You just drink all the time, yeah. Yeah,
the only way I can deal with the spiritual world.
I've been on a lot of these, I guess on a lot of podcasts, about as many as Patton Oswalt does.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of a second career for me.
Yeah.
Really a first career when you think about it.
Sure.
So I'm on a lot. And there's a lot of guys who drink a lot during these things.
Yeah.
It's a little disconcerting. But I like to drink with them because, you know, I like to enable people.
That's good.
I'm an enabler.
Love potion. Okay.
But I use love potion number 9 a lot, which is very effective. But I, outside of that,
what do you use it for?
I use it to get people to fall in love with me.
That's good. And then,
I mean, that's what it's for.
Do you then?
I shun them.
You shun. Well, naturally.
I shun them. I didn't
feel loved, but then you like to be able to.
I like having the power of someone being obsessed with me, obsessively in love with me, and then pushing them away and pushing them away until it breaks them.
Yeah. That's good.
And that's...
It's like a
value
for a potion.
It's a hobby. Okay. And it's a potion. It should be used for some form of evil.
Do you roofie them with love potion number 9? Do you sort of slip it into a drink?
No, it's just generally, you know, pedestrians. Because I love those ideas and I've tried them before. But it's very complicated. And I find it much easier when you're walking the streets just to huck love potion into people's faces. I've tried all those other methods, and they're all... It's just too complicated. It's too complicated to try and sneak it into the drink when you can just huck it into someone's face on the street.
And they're going to fall in love with you anyway, so they're not going to get pissed off about
That's the beauty of love potion number 9.
Where did you find the... Like, where did you find the recipe for it? Where...
Oh, I didn't find the recipe for it. I started buying it. Yeah, a friend of mine... a friend of mine is he does a lot of coke, and he called his dealer one night, and his dealer came over with the coke, and I said, what else you got? And you know, he had all kinds of pills and powders and weeds, and then he had this stuff in a little bottle, a little liquid, and I said I gain nothing by plugging. Go back and look at my episodes of Weeds over and over again. He just had a bottle of some kind of purplish liquid, and I asked him what that is, and he said, "Oh, you don't want that," you know. And it became a really weird thing. And I said, "What is it?" And then I couldn't have it. It's not really for sale. He also had a mogwai.
Maybe he made you be in love with the potion.
Maybe it was a trick. He had a lot of weird stuff. Like, he had the mogwai, which was so cute, and I wanted that. But then I know about mogwais, and I know there's a lot of responsibility.
There's more rules and structure than this very podcast.
It really is. There is. It's a more clear thing when you're dealing with a mogwai.
Yes. Yeah. They're a pain in the ass.
They are.
All right. Well, then your views on witchcraft are clear and voodoo, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to meet some witches, you know, because they seem pretty... I mean, a lot of time... I mean, not the Wizard of Oz kind of witches.
Yeah.
But the craft witches. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Or like the Wicker Man witches, you know?
You just want to meet Neve Campbell? Is that what it comes down to? Or wasn't she in the craft?
Neve Campbell, yeah. That'd be all right. I mean, it's more that I want to meet sexually aggressive witchy women.
Yeah. All right.
I think that's cool.
I think that sums it up. All right. All right, well, we can move on from there. And we're now at number 7. Lucky number 7.
Number 7.
If you believe in that kind of thing. Todd Robert Anderson, do you believe that there's some sort of underlying force driving things, whether it's God or something sort of guiding us or that created everything, whether it's...
You're asking me if I believe in God. Am I a religious person? Pointedly asking me if I'm religious. You can't be a public figure in pop culture unless you're... Maybe you can get away with it if you're a certain kind of stand-up, but you're still... You're a stand-up comic who rails against religion and makes the jokes about Jesus being fictional silliness and equating, you know, Jesus to a Smurf or whatever.
Yeah.
And your indie progressive liberal crowd will love you, but you can't. You're never going to be Matt Damon. Even though, I mean, I think it's pretty clear, you know, Matt Damon has a certain liberal political bent, but he's never super open about it. So if I go ahead and tell you, I think all organized religion is hogwash.
Yeah.
Then I'm getting myself into hot water. But to answer your question, I think all organized religion is hogwash.
Sure. Well, then let's move it back a step from organized religion, and let's just talk general spirituality. Let's talk. Let's even talk fate versus free will. Even, do you think that there is something guiding, whether it's organized religion, like some godly figure, or just some spiritual something moving us along and driving us?
Okay, again, I just want to reiterate. I am open. I think everybody has the right to choose their spiritual beliefs. They can. I'm not. I think everyone is free to be a part of an organized religion. For me, it doesn't work. I'm devoutly agnostic.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not. And the reason for that is because my mother-in-law is devoutly atheist. Yeah. She does not. She was raised in the Jewish faith, but she is an atheist. She believes when you die, you're worm food, and that's that.
Right.
It's over.
Yeah.
I don't. I actually don't believe that. Yeah. I believe there is a spiritual side to man, and what and the fact is whether it is just our imaginations, mm-hmm. or it's an actual thing that's happening.
Yeah,
it doesn't really matter. I think it's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
I mean, religions are built on it,
yeah.
and people are enslaved because of it. I don't think that's the right choice to make. I think the ultimate choice to make is to be a spiritual person and to know that. I do think that, you know, there's an energy that resonates beyond our lifespan. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, reincarnation's real. Maybe, you know, you're going to another another spiritual plane after this. All those things, all that spirituality stuff. I like aliens.
Yeah.
Like ghosts.
Yeah.
I love this show.
Yeah.
I love talking about it.
Yeah.
And I love thinking about it. Do I believe in it? Yeah, I believe in it, but I also don't believe in putting labels on it.
Yeah.
I don't believe in naming it. I don't like to call it God.
Yeah.
Because God, to me, I was raised Catholic, and God, to me, is, an asshole. And if Christianity is right, and Judaism, because Judaism is the launching pad for Christianity, if that kind of system of belief is correct, then I want to go straight to hell. I don't want to hang out with God because he's a jerk. I mean, it's sort of a fascist concept, the Christian God, you know, that
yeah.
has the power and is screwing with you, you know, and burying dinosaur bones to see if you believe in him and all that stuff. I don't subscribe to that stuff.
Yeah.
And if they're right, and again, because I'm devoutly agnostic, I have to accept the idea that they could be right.
Yeah.
There's no way of disproving it any more than there's a way of proving it. So maybe at the end it is like a bad joke,
yeah.
and you go up to the pearly gates and Saint Pete like runs down all this crap on a list and decides whether or not you go in or not, which is really only in joke land. That doesn't happen in the Bible, I realize, but you know, whatever it is, I would have a lot to talk to God about.
Sure.
And I would be, you know, protesting. I would be a 99%er outside of heaven. I'd be protesting heaven if that was real.
Occupy
heaven. Yeah. Yeah, that would be me.
I've often wondered what it would be like if we found out that God was God, but he was just a total dick. Like he was all powerful, but and there is evidence in the literature that
right. But that's the that's the Christian God.
Yeah.
I mean, if.
I can say this because it's my heritage. It's also kind of the Jewish God.
It is the Jewish God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all the same God. The only difference is the Jesus thing.
Yeah.
So the Christians believe that this God sent Jesus down to heal a bunch of people and then get crucified, which is a terrible thing to do to your son. So you're an asshole straight up. and if
I'm thinking of doing that to my kid.
Just for
a good precedent.
I'm sending you out to be crucified.
Exactly.
I guess we all do that with our children to some degree.
Deep.
Very deep.
Yeah.
But that's where the imagination and the symbolism that happens in the Bible comes in and blah, 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 blah. But all I'm saying is if that's true, if that's what God is, if God is testing us.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what I got from Catholicism, is God is watching you.
Yeah.
And if you don't do exactly what we tell you to do, and nobody's doing it.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to fuck. Can you curse on your podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have a little explicit in the box.
Okay.
It's fine.
So every human being in the world to create something, and I get probably the original. I mean, this is theoretical, but I imagine the original reason for it was like creating these stories was telling, you know, smarter people telling dumber people, trying to relate to them on their dumber level,
yeah.
because evolution is always happening. So at that point, and it's never equal. There are people who are more evolved than other people.
Yeah.
So they were making up these stories to tell, because if you tell them, well, it seems that when you have sex, a lot of people who are having sex right now are developing these terrible boils
right.
on their genitals. But that doesn't see, like the science doesn't seem to
dissuade them. So we'll make it about all of eternity. And
so what you're saying is that religion was like the original condom, basically, that it was to prevent STDs.
Right. Is that where you're going? Well, that was part of it, obviously. Sure. And also part of it was to keep, you know, a certain economic system that was in place and keep people rich and keep people enslaved.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's all part of it. But I think definitely, you know, you can't eat ham is because the ham was tainted. And people were like, but the ham looks delicious. Yeah. And they're like, but if you eat it, you'll get sick. And they said, well, it looks delicious. And they said, if you eat it, then God will hate you. And you will live in an eternity of hellfire or whatever the hell. I know there's no hell in Judaism, but there's some way, yeah. That's, if they make it part of religious belief, it keeps people away from it so they won't get sick.
Yeah.
And there's a nice thing, you know. I'm not sure why they couldn't just say the ham is going to make you sick. Let's not eat ham.
Yeah. They made people cut parts of their body off too. In fact, like they made people get all
circumcised. Yeah, that's cool.
There's a lot there.
But circumcised penises look awesome.
Dude,
they're way better than the other kinds.
I completely agree. And in this vein, I'm going
to... In this vein?
In this penis vein. We're going to... I have to ask you. Top Robert Anderson. What do you think about monsters?
I love monsters.
I know, monsters even. What do you think about the sort of your more traditional monsters, your sort of vampires, your werewolves? Where do you place them on the whole spectrum? I should clarify for the Subway that we are in question number 8, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so...
Speaking of monsters.
You mean the classic universal monsters?
Monsters. Do you think that...
The Frankenstein and the vampire and the mummy?
Whatever is deemed a monster in our... monsters with some kind of, say...
I love those monsters. I have more of an affinity for... I do love those monsters.
Yeah.
I don't... But I prefer giant, like... crazy monsters.
Yeah.
The vampire and the mummy and Frankenstein are all human. The takes on humanity.
Yeah, you morph into.
And I'm more into, you know, giant, you know, bug monsters and like...
And
yeah, I like Godzilla and King Kong and you know, I like, you know, the Thing, which is just an amorphous thing. And the Blob. I love the Blob. I saw The Thing. Yeah. Well, I can't talk about it if it's one of your sponsors.
So you loved it, is what I want you to say.
I loved John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah, fair enough. But bringing it back to sort of where we are with our show here, do you think there's any genuine sort of real element to any of that? Has there been a vampire in history? Has there been an actual... There's a dude that's part wolf, part human, or is it just ways for humans to explain people who are different from them?
Do
you think, in your opinion?
Well, I would say that that monsters are pure metaphor at this point, except for Nessie.
Well,
obviously,
naturally.
But yes, pure metaphor. I don't.
Have you been on her show, by the way, Nessie? She's kind of great.
Does she podcast?
She does. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, everybody podcasts these days. It's good stuff.
Is it called the Water Horse Podcast?
That's the bastardized.
Is another Scottish underwater monster?
She's got a good show.
That's too bad. I look forward to it. I didn't know that. I'm gonna listen to that as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. It's also explicit, by the way. She works.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
She's totally got a potty mouth.
Well, she is Scottish.
Yes. Well, you can't understand what the curses are.
Yeah, you can't understand it, but you know it's wrong.
Yes.
I don't think, but I mean, in this world that we live in, there are monsters. There are hippopotamuses, which are terrifying, and the gators, as we talked about before, which are terrifying monsters. They're terrifying monsters.
And agents, am I right?
and agents, horrible beasts.
So there are those things, so you think that generally that when people would have myths about monsters or that kind of thing, that it was just basically trying to vilify people or making stuff up to scare people or that kind of a thing. So Transylvania, Dracula.
Yeah, I mean, but most of that stuff, that was never, it's not like the Bible. There was, you know, Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein, but she didn't go, this is real science. This is real. It happened. It was just a fictional.
Right.
I think most of those things are fictional. Yeah. I mean, the mummy is the only one that has some actual, yeah, because they mummified, you know, pharaohs and whatnot, but they never came back to life.
So you think
but that was, the mummy was probably a more, at the time of ancient Egypt, was a more valid kind of monster. I guess there's Vlad the Impaler and that whole thing, but...
So Transylvania 6-5000 is purely work of fiction then, with Ed Begley Jr. and whoever
and
else.
Jeff Goldblum?
Michael Richards, wasn't he in that movie as well?
I don't know. Yeah, it's been a long time. But yeah, Jeff Goldblum was in that too, right?
Yeah, it's entirely possible.
No, everything with Jeff Goldblum is real.
Yes. Dinosaurs.
Yes. Flies. When Jeff Goldblum does something, it becomes reality. He's like, do you ever see that John Carpenter movie, In the Mouth of Madness?
I have not.
Where the author, the Stephen King-esque author, everything he wrote was becoming a parallel universe that was breaking into our world and taking it over.
Yeah.
And I believe that's true about Jeff Goldblum. Everything he acts in becomes part of a parallel universe that is slowly eroding our own.
Right.
And they're coming together and becoming one.
I worry for our society, then.
Mm-hmm.
We've touched on this a little bit, but I'm going to delve slightly deeper into this. We're now on question number nine. Before we reach the final two recap questions, I should say. Mm-hmm. I just want to prepare our audience, although they're regular listeners, so they know. Question number nine. Talk to me about past lives and reincarnation. In terms of A, whether or not you believe in it, but then B, we'll get to B when we get to it. I'd like to know your thoughts on it in general. Do you think that such a thing is possible? Do you subscribe to that newsletter?
Well, again, you know, I've talked to a number of people who believe that, yes, that's the case. A number of people have told me, you know, you were this in a past life, you were that in a past life.
Or what do you think you were in a past life?
I can't remember the things that some people have told me.
Would you like to have been in a past life?
In a past life?
Sure.
I guess.
If you were to believe that.
It would have been cool to be. How far back?
Well, it's up to you.
I mean, it would have been cool to be, I don't know, Cary Grant. That would have been nice.
Sure. Why?
Nice. Dashing, suave, very funny. It's talented. You know, he was a quadruple threat. Yeah, he's got a star. Well, that doesn't really matter to me, but to be, that good looking, you know, and a talented actor, you can get a lot of work that way.
Yeah.
That'd be nice to get a lot of work.
So out of everyone in history and every time period and every everything, you're going for Cary Grant. Is that because it's a familiar-ish kind of... It's closest to where you are now?
You know, historically... I mean,
you're not going for Jesus. Well, no, he had a bad ending. But you're not going for...
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be Jesus. I wouldn't want to be Jesus. If you pick a time in history, I can do my best to tell you what kind of person I would be.
Yeah.
You know?
You, Tom Robert Anderson, assuming we believe in reincarnation here, what are you going to come back as? Would you come back as a person? What type of person?
Oh, I'd like to be done. I'd like to be done.
And what's done?
I mean, a lot of the people tell me I've been in a lot of past lives, tell me I'm an old soul.
Sure.
That's what
sure.
they say. So I feel like I'm ready to go. I'm ready to move on. If Defending Your Life, the Albert Brooks movie, is my favorite take on the afterlife
climax.
I know I'm gonna be like Albert Brooks in that I'll be horribly embarrassed by all the clips from my life, but I think I'm a good person ultimately and romantic, so you know I'm not gonna chase after Meryl Streep. I'll just wait for my wife, but you know what I mean.
So then what happens after that? What if you're done? What lies?
I don't know. I don't know.
What's next for Dr. Robert Anderson?
On the spiritual plane?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to. I mean, again, it's like I don't know. I mean, if I don't know.
What would you like it to be? What's your
I want it to be, I just simply want it to be beyond my imagination. Right. I want it to be beyond human imagination, because that's really what my feelings about, like, labeling something God and creating a mythology for something is born out of the human imagination. Yeah. And I think that there's a whole universe out there, and there's a cynical way of looking at it, because you get out into space, and that's, if you're not in a ship with proper breathing apparatus, you're done, because it's a black void. It's a vacuum. There's nothing there. You can't sustain life. So imagine that you don't have a life you need to sustain. You know, it's just a spiritual thing, and you can float through space, and maybe there's more to space than just space, and maybe there's all this stuff we don't see and we can't understand, and maybe there is kind of some greater thing that's happening, and that's an awesome concept, and I would like to see what's next. I mean, I also think, you know, I am also concentrated on this thing, you know, that we're doing. And, reincarnation, I don't want to keep doing humanity. I'm just not a huge fan.
Yeah. All right.
And,
So you're ready?
I'm on.
It is an ugly set of circumstances.
I mean, really, what being a human being, the great part about being a human being is if you're one with a sense of humor, and you can laugh about the darkness, and you can and the sickness and all the crap that we go through. Even now, you know, in this country, the United States of America, which is pretty cushy compared to the other countries in the world, our existence, even, you know, as the 99%, is essentially pretty cushy by comparison.
Sure.
I mean, the top 1% are a bunch of assholes, and I'm on board with that. Even if you are the top 1%, you have that money, it's still a shitty existence, because you're going to die. There's nothing you can do about it. Something's going to kill you.
Yeah.
Whether it be a bus or a disease, and you make it to 100, you make it to 40, you make it to 60. There's no getting out of this thing alive.
Yeah.
And that's a crappy thing to be aware of.
Yeah.
And we're the only species on the planet, as far as we understand scientifically, that understands the ramifications of that.
Yeah.
I mean, all animals are kind of afraid of their own death because of it's a survival mechanism, but we actually can sit back and be spiritual and talk about reincarnation or God or whatever. And that fucking sucks to me. I mean, that's a shitty thing to be saddled with. Another reason to hate God, if you believe in the Christian God, that's what he saddled us with.
Yeah.
But which is why I'm not a fan, but the great thing about humanity is that there is, you know, there's friendship, and there's love, and there's like good family. There's fucking screwed up families, but there is every human being, I like to think anyway, has it in them, even if it's buried deep or it's been screwed up by external forces, has the ability to rise above it and love. That sounds stupid, it sounds John Lennon-y, but that's, you know, that's where I stand. But at the same, but that's what's great about humanity, and laughter is a huge part of it too. Is you can laugh and you can have fun, and if you choose to, in the worst possible circumstances, I mean, everybody does it. You know, the most destitute people, you know, will find some way to love, find some way to hope. For love, or hope for laughter, even if they're not actually experiencing it. But then they find, you know, people just find humor in the oddest things, and even in the best of circumstances in this world, it's crappy. That's why I can't understand why we can't get together as just a world population and make everything easier for everybody, because I think so much of this is so lame sounding, but I think so much of what we built societies and religions and governments and everything is based on, you know, a fear of death, which is unavoidable.
Yeah.
But yet everybody's so greedy for life that they're willing to screw over everybody else to have the best life possible. And then when you lie on your deathbed, what do you have?
Well, so this is actually a nice segue for the first of our final two questions, and I'm going to crack open a new beer for this one.
Before we do, though, yeah. I just
My favorite quote about reincarnation is from Jennifer Tilly.
I would not have guessed that.
Of all people.
Yeah.
Who, I'm a big fan of Jennifer Tilly. Sure. I really am.
Yeah.
I think she's a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous actress. And she doesn't have a tremendous amount of range, but she's always wonderful and energetic, and she's pretty sexy. But she said in an interview that I heard one time, long time ago, I can't remember where I heard it, and I'm paraphrasing it slightly, but she said, the thing about reincarnation that scares me is the concept that if what it is your soul leaves your body when you're dying and inhabits another person.
Or doll.
A new life form. That would mean that as our population grows, world population grows, even if you believe that reincarnation, you can reincarnate as an animal, you know, the world population grows, especially human beings.
Yeah.
So that means that the longer we go, the more human beings are wandering around without any soul whatsoever. Mm. And I was like, Jennifer Tilly, that's good reincarnation math.
That's
a potent thing to say.
That is some deep shit from the Tilly right there.
Yeah, that's... and she's got great boobs.
Yeah, well, there you go. So I need to ask about... you were talking about what we were just discussing. If you, Todd, Robert Anderson, could genuinely start a religion of sorts, and I'm using that term loosely here, a system of beliefs or whatnot, that you think could, that you subscribe to, that you think could set things right, that could spiritually put us all in this world on the right path, what types of things would you put in that system of beliefs, a set of religions, or would you not even bother? Would you just sort of let things propel forward on their own? Would you? But if you could start your own,
That's a massive amount of responsibility,
and you don't have to accept it. This is why the recap question here. These are the biggies at the end here.
I see.
Subway's paying me double.
Well, I mean, to not answer the question doesn't seem right.
I would say answer it honestly. And if you think that you choose, if your answer is that you choose to sit back and let things happen as they're going to happen and not accept that responsibility, there is no shame in that.
I
don't know that I would accept that.
It's
a big fucking mess.
If I could run the religion of the world, like a world religion, of Todd, then the first thing I would do is make it illegal, I guess, to define spirituality. So spirituality would be individual theory. But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's also you're legally obligated if you are in any kind of relationship, romantic relationship,
mm-hmm.
you're legally obligated to give oral sex on a daily basis. both parties. And either party can always say no thank you, I do not want oral sex, but everybody has to say are you ready for your oral sex now?
What would be your symbol, like your cross or Star of David or that kind of thing? I think
it'd be like a 69, I think. It's very Taoist. It's very Taoist. And I would also, you know, single people, you know, who aren't in any kind of relationship. And I'm not putting, it's not necessarily monogamy, but if you're in any kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Then oral sex must be provided. Mm-hmm. If you have friends, you have to offer, you know, oral sex. Sexuality,
you know, those are fine, you know, but, you know, if you're bi, you have to, you know, offer oral sex to all your friends who aren't getting oral sex from, you know, a wife or husband or whatever.
So bi people, bisexual people are bearing quite...
Bisexual people have a lot, they have a lot to do.
Yeah.
And, but also, I mean, I think...
I think
in my, with my religion, I think a lot of people... A lot of the bisexuality that is, because people, you know, people are so monogamy happy in our society, homosexual and heterosexual.
Yeah.
I think that with this religion and the oral sex rule,
yeah.
I think a lot more people would be like, ah, it's the rules, you know. A lot more
Gotta
people
do
would
it.
Be bi. So I don't think it seems like it's a small number of people, but I think a lot more people would be okay with being bi. And also, you know, organized religion has been basically outlawed except for this.
Right.
So there's no more of that pressure,
yeah.
societal pressure to be one thing or the other.
So clarifying things, basic tenets like thou shalt not steal, so on and so forth, murder, etc. All of those take sort of at least a slight backseat to cunnilingus and fellatio.
Let me ask you this.
Yes. I'm the interviewer.
But how many... But,
yeah.
all right. Well, I know. I understand that you're the interviewer.
It's a
dialogue.
It's
a dialogue.
Yeah.
But well, let me ask you this. And I'm not positive. It's for you. It's for your audience.
Yeah.
To think about.
My audience knows
But if
well.
Everybody is getting... is getting oral sex...
Yeah.
On a daily basis.
People are happy.
How many people are going to be killing people?
Well, but you said in a relationship. So you got a lot of single people out there who, you know, you got...
Well, I said any kind of relationship.
Okay,
so
but let's say we've got the monsters that we were talking about in question number, let's see, 8. Who's going to give Wolfman a beach right there?
But
like,
we already established that Wolfman
time.
Is just... well, okay, there's...
The
bisexuals. There are... That's what I was about to say. And the single people... Part of the religion is the single people who don't have friends and neighbors who are offering them oral sex.
Yeah.
And I think this is ultimately kind of a small number because you make friends one way or the other with other people. And I think if it is a rule that you have to offer oral sex, again, I think a lot of people, the bisexuality will open up and people will be a lot more just, I want to help you out. Because it's your religion. Dude.
Yeah.
So it's what you do. It's your belief system is based on oral sex. So what I'm saying is, I think a lot of if you happen to be such a shut-in that you can't get at the oral sex, then and assuming that everybody has to follow these, you know, world beliefs, you have to masturbate. At least twice a day.
And so you have your, like, priests, your high priests are the folks who can somehow give themselves oral sex or that kind of thing. That they're
sure,
like,
yeah.
That's
another... Okay, there it is. You just nailed it. That's the secret is everyone also has to practice, you know, yoga or Pilates or something.
So, listeners, if you would like to subscribe to the Church of Todd, the address is on our website. Just feel free to look it up there. And it's time for our final question.
Oh, geez.
And this is question number 11. The final.
The number
question.
11.
Yeah. And this is the biggie, and which is to say, Todd Robert Anderson, actor, feminist. If you, Todd Robert Anderson, were the only person. We've talked about a lot of things today. We've talked about ghosts and dreams and life on other planets and psychics, all these sorts of things. And if you somehow came upon the knowledge one or all of these things genuinely existed, you knew for sure, you had proof positive, you were the only person who knew for sure that such forces existed in our world.
You mean all the forces we talked about?
Any of them. Any or all.
Uh-huh.
I will leave this to you to define. If you knew for sure that some of these things were out there in our world, what would you do with that knowledge? Would you go public with it? Would you use it to your advantage? What would you do?
Do I have concrete physical evidence?
You certainly do, but you are the only person who has it. How would you handle it?
Like, I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt That an alien exists, or that we were reincarnated, or that the Christian God is real.
Any of those things, you and you alone have the power to, if you choose, bring that to the public, or you could use it to your advantage. What would you do with it? Okay. We ask this of all of our guests, by the way.
I don't doubt it. I've never listened to your podcast. I actually don't listen to podcasts. Yeah, I don't have the time.
A little miffed by the fact that you...
I apologize. Everybody has this problem with me, but yeah. I don't listen to podcasts.
You and Patton Oswalt. You're on all the podcasts.
I'm here because my PR people send me here because I do really important acting work.
I've heard. I haven't seen anything you've been in, but yeah.
Yeah, but most people have. Yeah. I have really high Q rating.
Yeah,
whatever that is.
So what would you...
all right. Okay, here's the answer. It's really simple. Mm-hmm. It's anything. If it's ghosts, it's aliens, it's reincarnation... If it's the monsters,
witchcraft.
If it's psychics, witchcraft, if it's any of those, and I have proof positive, irrefutable evidence that that's real, I will turn on the world, with one exception.
Yeah.
Judeo-Christian God. If I have evidence of that being real, I will destroy it.
Really? Yeah. What now? Can you speak to that a little bit? Just because is that a spike thing, or is that just?
I was raised Catholic, and I don't like it.
Fair enough. I think we can leave it at that.
I honestly, if they're right, if the Catholic priests are right, and the nuns are right, that it is so awful to me that I mean it's not that I'm terrified of going to hell or heaven or anything. It's the concept that they might be right of all the world religions, and there's a lot of like iffy ones, like, you know, Scientology. Yeah. You know, if I had proof positive of that, I'd probably destroy that evidence as well.
Right.
But all I'm saying is, you know, there's a number of organized religions where if I had proof positive, I use Christianity as my example because that's where I brought up. But if I had proof positive, I would destroy the evidence because I think that even if the beliefs are wrong, they're destructive. But if they're right, what a horrible system of spirituality. It's just horrible. I don't want the world. I like that the world is drifting away from it, at least to some degree.
Yeah, all right. Well, I think we've learned a lot today. Do you have any final words at all that you'd like to deliver? Anything about Subway, perhaps? If you want to say anything about them, I'm sure I would.
I have gone to Subway.
Yeah. It's good times. Or they've been times.
I've gone. Yeah. It's a good place to go.
They have potato chips there. So
they have chips?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to thank my guest, Todd Robert Anderson, this week.
Thank you for having me.
Close the show as we always do by blowing out the candles and hoping that the smoke alarm doesn't go off.
Oh. Wow, that's very spiritual.
It is very dramatic. We're very spiritual here on the Toddcast. Todd, thank you. I appreciate your spending the time with us, and good luck with you and all that stuff.
You too.
Yes, bye.